Today we're going to be talking about being made in the image of God. Being made in His image to look like Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. One moment while I get myself set up. So to do that, if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to the letter John, so the fourth to last book in the Bible. We're turning to chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 7, and we're going to go straight right to the very, very end. And it says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if you love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him, and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Spirit has sent His Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love." Remember that, that's an important thing as we talk about. God is love. "Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister." Let's open in prayer, eh? Dear God, we just thank You for today, and I thank You for what You're doing here. And I just really pray that Your presence comes and settles among us, Father, that we will know that You're speaking to us, we will know what You're saying, and we'll just have ears to hear what You have to say, Father. And I just pray that Your word is spoken powerfully as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Now, for those who don't know me, my name is Paul. I'm one of the leaders here in church. I run the children's and families area here. And so if you have children or if you want to know anything about parenting, come and talk to me and I'll pass you on to our pastor. He is brilliant. So, I think I've used that joke before. Okay, let's start. When I was in school, we had school assemblies, and I'm sure we've all had assemblies before. And this is where you'll start by just sitting there and singing some songs. And that's how our school assembly started. Now, on this one particular day, for absolutely no reason at all, my teacher came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Good singing." Now, she was just doing it to be encouraging, to say, you know, "You're doing a good job, well done." But that's not how I took it. I took it completely different. She said good singing, so I thought she meant I was the best singer in the room. I was a rock star. Nobody was better than me. Now that I'm a little bit older, I know that's not the case. Just ask my wife. In fact, if you were going to put me on a scale of terrible or great, well, I would be closer to terrible than great. Unfortunately. But it didn't matter because my teacher told me good singing. And that's how I took it. When I sung in the shower, I would have all the instruments playing in my ear. The guitar, the drum, the bass, all of them. I was simply amazing. I was wonderful. Now, I was never created to be a musician. That's not who I am. Playing the guitar, well, I know every single chord there is. But unfortunately, I can never get it to make or sound like anything. Why? Because I just got no rhythm, unfortunately. Just standing here in church sometimes, I have to watch the person in front of me so that I know when to clap. Because I can't even clap in time. Which is why I'm never standing up the front, by the way, because I've got no one to watch. Have you ever tried to be something that you're not? Obviously, I'm not a musician and I'm not a singer. But have you ever tried to be something that you're not? Have you ever seen a teenager try and be more like a teenager? I'm sure we all have, but really, all you have to do to be a teenager is between the ages of 13 and 21, I think. I could be wrong. And it's the same with Christianity. Have you ever tried to be more like a Christian than what you really are? I have. And for me, I have tried to be more righteous and more godly at times than what I really am. But in reality, I am a Christian because I repented of my sin, asked Jesus into my heart, and because he accepted me as his son, he brought me into this Christian family. That's it. Pretty simple. Yes, there are things we can do to get closer to God, like reading the word and praying and living a godly life. But in reality, you are a Christian because he has brought you in to his family. You see, Christianity is relatively simple. It's fairly simple. And we can easily get confused. I have heard it said that the Bible is simple enough for the simplest of minds. And yet it is so complex that no mind would ever fully understand it. And yet we get bogged down by all the complexities and make this Christianity a lot more complex than what it really is. But in a nutshell, we are simply called to love God and love one another. And we do this because of 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Because Christ first showed his love towards us, in return, we are to show his love towards others. Verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. God is love. This is who he is. This is his nature. And as Christians, we are meant to look like him. We are meant to look like God. Or we're meant to look like love. Our nature is meant to be the same as Christ. It's meant to be loving. Now, I know that there are different circumstances and characteristics of God, but today I just want to talk about one thing, love. So as followers of Jesus, if we are striving to be more like him, if we are striving to be more like Jesus, then we should be more loving. Where we are simply called to love God and love others. That's simply what we are called to do. But before I really start talking about this, I want to lay a bit of a platform. Because as 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. For us to love, we need to know that we are loved. We can't love others and we can't love Christ unless we have been touched by his love or had some kind of a realization of his love towards us. So let's turn to verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now this verse here sounds very similar to another well-known passage. Can anyone pick up what it sounds like? I heard John 3:16, and you're right. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is a wonderful piece of scripture, right? We all know it. We've all been taught it in Sunday school. And we all need to know that God loves all of us, each and every one of us. But if this was the only scripture that we had on the love of God, I believe that it wouldn't be good enough. And I say that because this scripture is very general. It talks about everyone, the world, and that is important. But we need to know that God loves us, each and every single person. What we really need to know as an individual, as a single person, just how much you are loved by God. Not everyone, but just you. That yes, Christ died for everyone, but he also died for you personally. That he loved you so much that he gave you his one and only son. He died on a cross for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Do you know this love, church? I hope you do, and I pray that you do. The trouble for me as a preacher is that this is something that I can't preach. Don't get me wrong, there's heaps of scripture there to back it up, but it's something you can't preach. It's something that you have to get an understanding of directly from God, get like a revelation. But this is something that Christ has to reveal to you, that you know not just in your head and biblically that Christ loves you, but that you know in your heart, in your mind, in every part of your body, that you are loved by God. Now, I've been praying all week that you will get a revelation of the love of Jesus. And if you don't know him personally or know his love personally, you really, really need to, because it will transform your life. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 is a prayer that Paul prays for this church. And I want to pull out just three verses from it. Verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of God. Now, there are four things that I want to pull out from this passage for us this morning. And the first one is this, that this love surpasses knowledge. On our own, we are never going to fully understand his love. For a second, just think about that. As we have already mentioned, he is love. So to know his love means that you're going to understand who God is. Is that possible? Good answer is no. I heard that answer somewhere. The only way that we can have a small understanding of God is if he reveals to us his love, because our minds and our hearts can't understand it on our own because it's just too big. And secondly, his love is always there, and we need to accept it by faith. So we need to claim it by faith. Colossians 2, 9 to 10 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of a deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." In one sense, the Christian is already made full in Christ, already made full. But we need to claim it. We need to declare it. If we need to claim it by faith that he loves us. And thirdly, Paul prays that they have power together. And this suggests two things. Firstly, that you are going to know his love when you are united with one another. And I will talk about this in full shortly. And secondly, we can pray that we all together receive an understanding of this love. Each and every one of us, we all need to have an understanding of the love of Jesus. It needs to be personal. It needs to be deep. And it needs to be just for you, because God wants to speak just to you as an individual. And you need to have this relationship with the Heavenly Father. And it will change your life. It'll change your the way you look at each other, the way you talk to each other, and also change the way you talk to your God, because it will change and deepen the relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. So this brings us to our two commandments, loving God and loving one another. Now, before we really get into this topic, you need to remember that in 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. This is his nature. This is who God is. God is love. Because God is love, that means that God always was love. He's always been love. From the foundations of the earth, God was love. Therefore, let's go to the very, very first chapter of the Bible. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So they created mankind in their own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. One moment. We are created to bear the image of God. This is who Christ is. He is love. If we are called to bear his image, to look like Christ, then this is what we are meant to look like. He is love. We are made in his image. Therefore, we are created to reflect his nature of love. Therefore, the very first question we've got to ask ourselves is, do we? Do we look like love? Now, I'm going to break it down into two parts, loving God and loving others. And starting with just loving God. Now, when it comes to loving God, there is actually a really simple test that we can do to see this out. And remember, we like simple things. This is a simple sermon. Love God, love others, as it has been revealed to us through Christ. So to get there, let's turn to John chapter 14, Gospel of John. And in verse 15 it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Now, this section of scripture that I am reading from is one of the last conversations that he has with all of his disciples all together. In fact, many people believe it's the last conversation. So this is an important one. And during this conversation, Jesus says over and over again, more times than what I've just mentioned, that if you love me, well, you need to obey me. He says it in different ways, but it's relatively what he's saying. If you love me, obey me. What I tell you to do, you will just do, not because you have to or because I'm making you do it, but because you love me. This is why you're going to do these things. You see, so many people consider Christianity a list of do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do this, don't do that, but do this. And it's not. It's about relationship. And the more that you fall in love with God, the more you'll want to live rightly. The more you'd want to do these things to make him happy, because you want to get to know him. Example, when I was in college, I did some naughty things. I know, shocker. Now, on one particular day, I was in quite a bit of trouble, more than normal. I had my principal here, I had my dean here, and I had a whole bunch of teachers down here. And they're all waving their little finger at me and telling me off. And I was sitting there, yep, sorry, I got caught. I'm very sorry. Sorry for catching me out. I am really, really sorry. And that was everything I said. But then everything changed for me. Everything changed because my parents walked into the room. And everything changed. And I could see the effect that my actions had on my parents. Especially my mum. And at that split second, everything for me changed. I was no longer sorry for getting caught, but I was sorry for hurting someone that I loved. Because I could see that's where my actions were going. I hurt someone I loved very deeply. And for that reason, I was sorry. I was no longer sorry for getting caught, but I was sorry and deeply repentant because of the way I hurt someone I love. Now, bringing this back to Christianity and our relationship with Jesus Christ, the more that you know God, the more that you fall in love with Him and build a deeper relationship with Him, the more you want to do things to please Him and to make Him happy and to live your life for Him. The more aware of your sin, of the consequences of your sin, you will be. You will do these things not because you have to, but because you want to love Him more. When I first met Jesus, I simply asked for forgiveness. And yes, I was forgiven. But now I am deeply repentful. But now I am deeply repentful of the things that I have done because I have fallen in love with Him. My actions have hurt and caused separation between me and God and someone that loves me very much. And because of that, I am sorry. So church, is that you today? How much do you love God? Are you aware how much your actions have hurt Him? Because we've all done them. We've all done wrong things. And our actions have hurt Him. As Jesus said in this particular scripture, if you love me, you will obey me. It is not a list of do's and don'ts, but it is a relationship to be had with Him. You obey what He says because you want to, because you want to make Him happy, because you love Him. Reading the Bible is not a duty, but it is something that you want to do. You pray and you fellowship with others and you go to life group, hopefully, because you want to get to know Him better and you love Him. But if Christianity feels like a list of do's and don'ts, coming to church or being a part of a Christian family, if it just seems like hard work, then please get to know Jesus better. Allow yourself to simply fall in love with God. And then you will understand Christian liberty because you'll be doing these things because you want to, not because you have to. Christianity is not bondage. It's definitely not what it is. It is freedom. It should not be hard work for us to love one another. It should be easy because you want to. Church, we do things not because we have to, or even the Bible says we have to. We do these things because we want to, because we love God. And I pray that's your relationship with Him today. So last point this evening is just loving others, loving one another, people in this room. Now it all starts with Christ. We love because He first loved us. And because He loved us, we are free to love Him. And then out of that love that He gives us, we love others. We love one another. And this is what it means to bear His image. He is love. That is who He is. And if we come from Him, then we also want to love. 1 John 4:12. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Now, this verse is very similar to another one, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from you, you can do nothing. Here's the point. God is love. If you are hanging out with him, if you're chilling with God, if you're abiding in him, then you're going to look like him. You just are. You're going to look like love. You are going to bear his image. Verse 11 says this, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If you're abiding in Christ, you're going to look like love. If you're not loving, then you're simply not hanging out with God. Because he is love. And if you abide in him, then love is rubbing off on you. If you are a loveless Christian, then simply put, you're just not hanging out with God. You're not abiding in him. You're not living in him. Now, let's put it another way. God will deal with you the way that you deal with others. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Verse 12, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In a nutshell, if you are not loving others, then you're not going to experience his love like you want to. He withholds his love from those who are not loving others. If you struggle to connect with God, if you haven't felt his presence in a while, maybe the answer is because you're just not loving. Verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. He is love. And in this world, we should be loving. In this world, we should be loving. When he sees you being loving, being a loving Christian is a way of life, then you are being just like him. You are bearing his image. And when he sees that, trust me, you have his undivided attention. When he sees you bearing his image, when he sees you looking just like him, you have his undivided attention. If you want to see God move, then love. If you want to see people radically transformed by the Holy Spirit, then love. We need to speak his language. We need to bear his image. Now, don't get me wrong, church. God is doing a very powerful things in this church. We are growing at a crazy rate. Ministries are growing and individual people are being transformed. God is doing a good thing here. I've been here for 8 years and what God's doing now is unseen. But I believe the key reason why these changes are taking place is because we are learning to love people. In the past year, the pastoral care team has been set up. Why? Because we love people. And we're passionate about seeing people connect with Christ. Pastors are meeting you in your homes, and we are a church that are learning how to love. And because we are loving, one another, God is showing up. We all feel that, right? God's showing up. God's doing something in us. But I want more. I want more of God. I want to see God do powerful things. I want to see the Holy Spirit come into meetings and radically transform lives. but we need to be more loving. The number one thing that people say about us should not be the preaching, should not be the worship or anything else, but it should be the way we love one another. John 13:35, last verse. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The world will know that we belong to Christ by the way we love. If we as a church want to go to the next level, which I'm sure we all do, we need to bear his image. We need to bear his image of love and just love one another. So church, how is your relationships with people? Are you loving the person next to you? If you are, then God is going to show up. So as I said at the start of this message, and I'm bringing it to a close now, that to be a Christian is fairly simple. It's not hard work. Well, it does take hard work, yes, but ultimately it's loving God and loving others. Yeah, okay, that's hard work. But it's a simplicity, that's all it is. We are called to love one another and love God. And if we can get that right, church, God will turn up in powerful ways. I really believe it. If we can love one another, if we can love him with everything we've got, we have his undivided attention because he sees us being just like him. We are bearing his image to everyone in this room and also outside this room. So if you want to see God move, we need to speak his language. We need to love. So let's be people of loving. Let's be a church of love. If God will turn up. Can I have the music team up, please? Now, as I've been praying this week, I really believe that God just wants to show his love to people in a really fresh way. Because if we don't get his love, then we can't show it. So if you haven't experienced his love for a while or if you just want to get to know his love, I encourage you, just come up for prayer. So let's just close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. And I pray that we can be a church that is known by the way we love. And when we do that, you are going to show up in powerful ways, Father. And I pray, Lord God, we'll look for ways to serve people. Mm. We'll look for ways to love people. But ultimately, we'll look for ways to love you and to just be more loving Christians. So I pray a blessing on everyone here. And just be with us all in Jesus' name.